This is exactly right.
Karen, have you heard of Handsome? It's a new podcast from the brilliant comedians Tig Notaro, Fortune Feimster, and Mae Martin.
I have heard of it. People love it. Every week, this handsome trio of hosts takes a question from a famous friend, people like Stephen Colbert, Reese Witherspoon, Jamila Jamil, the Indigo Girls, and then they do their best to answer that question with plenty of hilarious detours along the way.
You're going to love hanging out with Tig, Fortune, and Mae every week, so go check out Handsome wherever you get your podcasts or on YouTube. Listen to a new episode of Handsome every Tuesday. Hey, Chris Fairbanks here with some quick comedy show announcements. I'm doing Cap City Comedy Club in Austin, Texas, December 29th through 31st. That's New Year's Eve and Eve and Eve Eve, followed by The Secret Group in Houston, Texas, January 7th. After that, in March, I'm in Green Bay, Milwaukee, and Chicago. And you can go to chrisfairbanks.com for tickets. And thank you, and you're welcome.
Are you leaving? Are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us a time and date, terminal and gate. We want to send you off in style. We want to welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
Mouth horn.
With Karen and Chris. Welcome to Do You Need a Ride? This is Chris Fairbanks.
And this is Karen Kilgariff.
Karen, I hate to start this with a question, but do I seem different?
You do seem different.
Yeah?
You seem thinner? Have you been doing Weight Watchers?
I've had appetite problems, and I've been going to the bathroom a lot, but that's not what I wanted to bring up. That's why I have that. I got a tattoo.
What?
Yeah.
Of what?
Of my mom's signature on my chest.
Oh.
It's right here.
Over your heart?
Yeah.
That's lovely.
It's her handwriting.
That says Sandy Duncan.
Whoops, I forgot. My mom was a famous glass-eyed actress. Didn't Sandy Duncan have a glass eye?
I think so.
She was like in a spin-off show called, I think Valerie Bertinelli quit a show and they pretended she died.
Close.
And then it was called Valerie's Family.
Yes, it was not Valerie Bertinelli, it was Valerie, the other actress that played Rhoda.
Okay. Who's Valerie Bertinelli?
Her real name, Stephen, if you have a moment, please help Grandma.
Valerie, Rhoda.
Am I allowed to turn? Oh, no.
Oh, no. There's a specific sign.
No, right on red, Karen.
But you gotta, you know, have your eyes shift over everything available to look at.
I have to make
just
sure
to
that
find that bright red thing in front of us.
Yeah, because if you in this city, if you're at a red light and you're not taking that right on red and moving things along, people will shoot you.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to do my due diligence there. But
I've noticed in my new hip area that I'm trying to get used to, I feel like I'm the oldest person there. People honk when you don't turn left because someone is walking in the street.
Yes.
They'll still honk at you.
They still will, for sure.
Because they think they aren't honking at the person. But the person usually will look at
you.
Me like I'm the one honking.
Yes.
It's the person behind me honking. I know I'm the first car.
I know.
But it's because of them that I'm hitting you right now.
It's true.
And I drive over.
You have to get revenge on them for even questioning you
mm-hmm.
and your
I don't
you're
like
bringing
that,
to the table.
I don't like that honk, but even more, I don't like the look on your face.
Yep.
And then that's
right
that's,
over.
Yeah. Yep.
Don't you give me that look. Mm-hmm. I'll strike you with my vehicle.
Yeah, a look is way worse than sticks or stones.
It's true. Oh, can I bring some current events news to the podcast?
Yeah.
In this portion?
Should we do the theme song for it?
Please.
Beep, 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 beep. Current events news.
Current events news. Sorry, you were doing all of it. I jumped in with more.
It could have worked just as easily. It was a 50-50 chance.
It was like somebody at the news station pressed play on two tape recorders at the same time.
Oh, God, why do we keep that Betamax machine?
Because I'm retro.
Well, fuck it. We'll go live.
So... My Favorite Murder was on tour last weekend. We were in Nashville, Tennessee. We were in Louisville, Kentucky, and we were in St. Louis, Missouri.
Those are all southern towns I want to go to.
And they're great. It was so fun.
No
met great people.
That part of the country.
I get it. It was a joke.
Yeah.
I thought you were just being sincere.
Yeah, I was. Those are fun towns. I've heard fun things about those three places.
It was sincerity with a slam.
Yeah.
Welcome to comedy, Karen. So anyhow, in the meet and greet line, and this is happening more and more, lots of people saying, I love Do You Need a Ride? Say hi to Chris Fairbanks. I love Chris Fairbanks. One lady said, say hi to Chris Fairbanks. I'm a little bit worried about him.
Which made me
laugh so
hard. In what
hard.
Way?
I think because you're so genuine about your fears and worries and concerns.
Sure, sure.
That she's just like, is he okay? And I'm like,
that's so funny.
Yeah.
What they don't know is I'm just walking around whistling,
yes.
Smiling.
No, I think you kind of live the life of Riley, really.
It is the, what does that mean? I'm going to not glaze over that and pretend.
Okay, thank
Riley
you.
Riley Newton.
Riley Newton, a great comic.
From Portland.
A fun friend. The life of Riley is like, you just have it all. Everything goes your way.
Okay.
And I think because on this podcast, you go, oh, here's my concerns, my worries.
Yeah.
People are afraid that you walk around like that.
Right,
but I think
right.
You leave it in the Lexus, really.
I really do. I do leave it in the Lexus.
And which is also my new R&B song, Leave It in the Lexus.
It really should be. I could help you write that tonight.
Let's do it.
When I watch my stand-up, it's not indicative of who I am, some of it. I'm like, why? It seems like I'm a toilet and genital-obsessed person. So many dick jokes in my special. I know.
It's funny.
And what is the formula that Blaine Kovach had? It's like smart thing, dick joke. I don't know. There was a formula, a Venn diagram of jokes.
That's funny.
But then my dick jokes ended up winning every time.
Of course.
Because it's hard to come up with smart things.
It's And also sometimes it's boring to come up with smart things.
So
it's like fun. We're supposed to be having fun.
Exactly. And it's fun to
it's
do it.
Fun
and I
and
laid
funny.
Down a recorded dick-heavy concert.
Good.
Wow.
More power to you and your dick, Chris.
But, and it's not even about mine. It's about the world.
And your
dicks.
Parents' dicks.
Everyone's. Not even their. It's made up parents.
That's not fact-based.
They were never nude in front of me.
Well, but all of that was to say that lots of people are getting turned on to Dinar.
Yeah.
And it's so fun because... this was my first podcast. This was our podcast, our venture into podcasting begin with.
That only happened because I think it was Jimmy Pardo, and I know also Greg Barrett, told me I should do one with you.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Jimmy Pardo said that to you?
Yeah, a long time ago, and I'm like, oh, it's too late. In the game for me, and that was 8 years ago. I thought everyone already had one back then.
Yes,
but
of course.
And then I ended up meeting you through your ex-husband, and ended
Greg
up
Barrett.
At your house, and I was like, hey, podcast, and you were like, sure.
Yep.
And then we did it two, 3 years later.
That's right.
Yeah.
I was honored because I had already stopped doing stand-up, and you, at the time, seemed to be the king, like Mr. New Fresh Pants in stand-up.
I was kind of peaking.
And the fact that you kind of came to me, on this, my daughter's wedding day, and we're like, oh, we should do something together. I was like, yeah, I still got it. Like, I'm still alive.
Oh, really? That's an interesting perspective.
Yeah.
It is different.
It was nice.
No, I was just glad you said yes.
We've been through so much together.
Oh, we're hugging right now.
But because of all that, Lauren brought us a $25 gift certificate so that we could get Starbucks, as did another person who, since I'm not looking directly at the gift card.
I have to look this up.
Can you hand me that? Because I can look it up too.
Oh, terrific.
Simultaneously, thank you.
Great. Let's look up our Starbucks gift card. Thank you.
I beat you.
Awesome. God, how are you so quick?
Jay, the second one was from J-A-Y-J from Minneapolis. Who gave us one? Sorry.
There's a couple new nice guys from Milwaukee that came to my show. And I went to Turtle Lake, Wisconsin.
For comedy?
That's how much I care about turtles. there were none there. But it was a casino. Yeah, to be honest, it was a money grab, Karen. No, I'm just kidding. It was fun. But it was a lot of casino folks and then a handful of do you need a ride folks came, and it made me feel really good that they were there. And I'm so bad at
saying thank you.
No, I'm at multitasking. I'm trying to look up because I just want to do the same thing and thank these guys.
Oh yeah, you should. Yeah, I think that's nice. Yeah.
Harley David at Harley David DES.
Oh. DES, and then that's not DDS.
No, look at this caricature he made. Look at that drawing.
Is that you?
Yeah.
Your ears are not that big, but that's really cute.
With a caricature, you gotta go ears, you gotta go nose, you gotta go mouth, and I have all these perfect features, and it's like, well, we gotta pick one.
That's true, you're incredibly beautiful, Chris.
Next time you see me, do notice my nostrils. Did you know I can put a quarter in my nostrils? Not a dime. That's how, look
at
it.
Whoa.
You ever notice those?
Never noticed that.
My nostrils are giant. So if anyone ever wants to just draw two windsocks coming out in front of my face.
But your nose tilts down so that feature is actually hidden unless you do what you just did, which is turn your nose up like you're about to pluck your nose hairs.
Yeah.
But it's at me.
And I noticed my dad had big nostrils. My dad, I think they're still big. And my mom had them. And they're just long. But if you flare them out, boy, these things. I have got, and you'd think I wouldn't have a problem breathing through my nose. You'd think I wouldn't snore with these bigger holes.
But I don't think it's those holes, right?
No.
It's more of like what's happening up near the bridge and stuff.
Yeah, they gotta take it to the bridge. I'm gonna see a doctor next week, and the list of reasons that I gave him, he probably thinks I'm a hypochondriac, but
I do.
I'm not though.
No, you really have a lot of things wrong with you.
Yeah. I want to find out if they're all connected. They're all things I can live with, though. Except the food stopping in my neck and not going down.
Here's our guy.
Oh wow.
I don't know if I'm allowed to stop
this
here.
Place. I love this place.
Yeah, Casita del Campo. Isn't it the best?
Oh
shit! Sorry.
Oh hello.
Hi. Is this illegal, what I'm doing right now?
It's like fucking gumball rally.
I know, it's crazy. And sorry, Sam, because we were just around the corner up there, but I couldn't turn left on...
It's bananas.
Yeah.
Especially this time of day. Thank you for getting me.
Of course.
I'm Chris.
Chris Fairbanks, it's so nice to meet you.
Good to meet you, too.
Person.
And do you know Steven?
Do you know how we met? Do you remember?
Is it through Tom Lanks?
Yes, it was Tom Lanks' thing. And guess who is the editor of my podcast? Dax.
Oh, yeah. What?
Yeah, my buddy Dex Schaefer.
Isn't that crazy? I meant to tell you about that, Karen. Not that it really matters.
What a podcast incestuous city.
We are.
It's so much. And I actually took him to dinner to lunch to thank him for how great he is. He's like really improved the podcast. I do this podcast about like 70s TV horror movies, which you're all welcome to do.
Wait. Is that new?
Yeah, it's new. I started it this winter.
You should be on it and talk about the teeth knife voodoo doll.
I want to. I bet you already did it.
We did it. Geo did it. But like, we'll do it again because I did it with one of the
kids.
Because
what else would you be doing? Trilogy of Terror is like the king of it,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I got to save a few of the giant, you know, the big, like the, you know, big ball busters of that genre.
Yes.
You know, I got to spread them out. It's called Sam Pancake Presents the Monday Afternoon Movie. And Dax, he's like a kid like you. I mean, he's younger. No, I know how old he is. He's pretty young. I'm guessing he's your age. Anyway, he's such a sweetheart, and he makes it better. And he's like watching all these old movies, and you know, like like Crowhaven Farm and, all those crazy, Satan School for Girls.
What? And I haven't heard of any of these.
Satan School for Girls?
No.
Kate Jackson, Cheryl Stoppamore, Later Lad, Charlie's Angels. Are you too young for that?
Kate Jackson from Scarecrow and Mrs. King?
Yeah,
I just told you exactly how old I am.
You did. You're much younger than me. But yeah, all of those. And like Haunts of the Very Rich, which is about when Cloris Leachman and Anne Francis and Robert Reed as a priest find themselves on a mysterious island, which later was Fantasy Island at the Arboretum. And you don't know if they're actually in hell or not.
Oh.
Donna Mills is also involved, obviously.
Yeah, she always had to have her toe in something back
then. That Donna Mills.
I'm just amazed you knew what I was talking about by saying tooth, sharp tooth, knife, voodoo
thing. The Zuni fetish doll.
Yeah. Yes, because we just talked about, again, the cousins that I watched that with the night that we watched at the night it aired in 1977 or whenever it was.
Five. You were young.
Was it 75?
75.
I was 5 years old when I watched
Holy
that
shit,
fucking
that's
thing.
Too much.
Because it was, I was five, my sister was seven, my cousin Stevie was 13.
I was a brand new baby.
You were a little baby that I was babysitting. And my cousins Lisa and Cheryl were like probably 14 and 16. So they were supposed to be babysitting us. So of course they were like, let's turn the TV on and I'll watch this together. And it was chaos. When we all went to bed, we all went into separate rooms, turned out all the lights. The cat jumped on Stevie's bed. He starts screaming. Then we start screaming because we're like, if Stevie's screaming and he's scared, something very bad is happening.
Oh my God.
But it's just all of us so fucking scared. And we had to spend the night by ourselves in the house after watching fucking Trilogy of Terror.
It was
traumatizing.
I've seen a lot of horror movies. I like horror movies. I like how now they're scientifically designed to make you shake your pants.
Oh, yeah, there's like a time signature to it.
Right, yes,
yeah.
Right.
They're
really
like, okay, swelling music, then we zoom in, we do a whip pan zoom.
Yeah.
I just saw The Curse of La Llorona last week. It checks every box in a very basic way.
Yes.
The Curse of what again now?
La Llorona.
Irish.
Llorona.
The Weeping Witch. My Irish Spanish. My Irish.
Have you watched this? And sorry, because this now I'm in this weird, I've had a lot of coffee, but now I'm in this weird panic of those made-for-TV horror movies that only existed, it seems like, in the late 70s, early 80s.
That's exactly what my podcast is. It's only that... Susan. My dear friend Susan.
We've known each other for literally 20 years.
At least 20.
Susan, you are right when you say...
We were rehearsing Facts of Life, speaking of which, and there's this whole thing about Susan Burkham, and that was in my brain. Sorry, Susan, Kieran Kilgore.
It's okay.
That's all my thing is, because it was like... Do you remember also the one that scared the fuck out of me when I was little?
Go.
Don't Be Afraid of the Dark. They're coming to get you, Sally, when the little demons live in the chimney and they come out in the bathroom and attack her with the razor in the shower.
No!
It's some fucking bullshit. Also, it was written during the writer's strike in the mid-70s, and so the script is very clearly not finished, and they shot it anyway.
Wow.
It's so it's just delicious. Like, what do you think she would say in the bathroom right now?
Exactly.
Just say that.
And Kim Darby was fresh out of ideas, believe me, the actor. Kim Darby, anybody?
No.
But what were you thinking of? Give me a hint.
Mine was called The House. I believe.
Oh.
And it was a modernly built...
Oh, and yes, I saw it recently. It's like early 80s.
Yes, and that one was the one where it's people living in a house and the house is trying to kill them.
Yeah, it's Parker Stevenson.
Yes, and it's so good.
He's a rock star.
He gets into the shower.
Yes.
Him or the wife, I can't remember. Uh-huh. And they're taking a shower. It takes forever.
Hey, isn't there a movie called House with William Catt, the greatest American hero?
Yeah, that's later. That's a feature film. It's just called House.
Okay.
And George Wendt is involved.
George Wendt is involved with that.
Is that a horror movie?
Yes. And it used to scare me. It's also got some comedy.
Really?
Yeah, it is. It's a little wacky.
I liked it. I'm going to watch it again.
There's also an amazing Japanese horror film called House with these... It's like one of those witchy Japanese schoolgirl things.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Do you know that one?
With
the cats?
It's, and there's like... It's like she goes into it and like no one's there.
Yes.
And then every floor there's different fucked up shit.
Yes, crazy psychedelic bananas.
Freak out stuff.
Yeah.
But this Parker Stevenson vehicle, was it called Bad House?
I think it's just called The House.
The House, okay.
The House.
I think.
So it's The House, House, and House is what we do. And then, of course, we haven't gotten House MD.
Hugh Laurie. Yes. You're a loose cannon, House. Oh, he was right.
And he's on pills.
Yeah. We should give everyone cocaine.
There is a scene where Parker Stevenson or the wife, I can't remember, gets into the shower, taking a shower, shampooing their hair for what seems like an eternity, and then the water turns to blood. And they get trapped in the shower with blood water coming on.
And probably, I think it's boiling hot, too, to boil them to death.
And then does that person die in the shower?
I don't remember specifically. I watched that. I'll do it eventually. I watched it for research about a year ago. I just remember it opens with, like, it's a real, I'm sorry, ugly modern house. It's somewhere in central to northern California. No offense, Petaluma.
Yeah.
But, like, it, a couple breaks in and they're making love on the lawn. And then the sprinklers attack them with some kind of poison gas.
Oh, God.
Because there's cameras everywhere and there's old boxy, old school, like, 80s video cameras, like,
like the house is looking at
them. And you never, when you're watching those things, you never think of all the plumbing work or underground digging you'd have to do to install blood and or poison to a pipe system. Even a ghost would have to be like, you'd have to get blueprints. You'd have to know the lay of the, it would be so difficult to set that
up. Because the ghost
just stab me.
The ghost that is haunting there didn't live there before because it's a brand new house.
It's a brand new house. It's like a, it's evil incarnate. It's like an actual, I'm remembering now because he's this super, Parker Stevenson is a major rock star, obviously, in the whatever early.
Literally.
Yeah, no. In the movie, I mean.
Okay. But no, he's a rock star.
He's
in
a
the
rock
movie.
Star. Yes. He has to get away from it all and recover. Maybe he's drinking and on drugs. And so this, I could be getting this wrong, but I'm pretty sure, like, this woman who's a fan becomes his assistant.
Yeah.
And so he immediately starts fucking her, like, in the house. And that's who he's in the shower with.
And the house is mad.
You never do that.
I get why the house is mad.
I don't remember them explaining it. I just remember whoever left us alone that night, that was another time where I was, like, by myself trying to process a house attacking you. As like a 7-year-old or whatever it was.
Where were the parents? I know they were working.
They were, my parents were always on a cruise.
Oh, that's right.
Mine you could just hear in the background. I grew up in a Peanuts cartoon.
Where did you grow up, Chris, again?
Montana. Really was kind of. I mean, there wasn't a lot to do but go to each other's houses.
Yeah.
One kid
be
was
in basements.
30.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's, and no one's, I remember there not being a lot of parents around when I was a kid, just going to the houses where there were no parents and you hang out in those basements.
Yeah, you intentionally went to where there was no parents.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, but they ended up okay.
The reason I started the podcast was because I have this obsession with all those movies, 70s, TV, horror, supernatural, almost always with a female lead because I'd much rather watch women on screen anytime. And I would only get to watch them like halfway through and then I have to go to bed. And my mother would always say, I was like, tell me what happens, Mama. And the next morning, I'd be, what happened to them? She's like, oh, I don't know. I fell asleep. They all died, Sam. I don't know. Something dumb happened. And I would be, I didn't know how lots of them ended. And like, you couldn't get them until they all got on YouTube like in 08, 09.
Yes.
And then at the end of my worst drinking days, I remember laying in my bed drunk for a week, just watching all of them to the finish and being like, that's what happened to Cloris Leachman and Lloyd Bridges. That's what happened to, you know, Kate Jackson or Karen Black or whoever. Yes.
All these childhood mysteries.
Hope
songs.
Lang. Yeah.
But you know what's funny? That trilogy of terror thing, I remember that kind of busting out on Facebook one time.
Uh-huh.
Where everybody that saw it and was incredibly damaged from it started talking about it, where everyone's like, I didn't realize other people saw this too.
Right.
Because it's so old that it felt like a hallucination. I mean, like,
and it wasn't available anywhere until recently.
Yes. Yeah.
Wow.
But also, can I tell you, it is a trilogy, and what everyone forgets is the first two are so weird and bad. I had this one friend who's no longer with us, but he was the only person I knew who remembered a line from the first of the trilogy, which is when she's this mousy teacher professor, and you can't tell whether it's high school or college. All the students look 40.
Yes.
It's maybe college, but there are crucifixes everywhere. So it's a Catholic college, and this guy with these tight freaking polyester slacks is like, I'm going to nail that teacher. And he basically drugs her and rapes her repeatedly. This is all in the movie you saw at 5 years old, Karen.
Yeah. Wow.
And then the switcheroo. true is, you think that he's like, he's gonna blackmail her. He takes pictures of her with her legs spread out. It is really upsetting for 70s
good
TV.
Good lord.
Yeah.
And she's, you know, super hot looking Karen Black, only with horn-rimmed glasses, so she's a fan.
Because she's ugly, yeah.
Yeah, it makes her ugly. And not in control of her own desires.
And so then, she's going, I have to stop this. He's like, you're mine forever. And then he starts to choke on the drink that she made him. And he's like, what's going on? And she says, and this is the line me and my friends say all the time about everything, I'm bored. And when I'm bored, the game is over.
What?
And then she kills him, and you realize she's been going around to the end. That part of the trilogy ends with another young boy knocking on her door who turns out to be Gregory Harrison.
She hypnotizes them into becoming tight-panted rapists?
Yeah. Yes! And so this whole thing, it has to hinge on so many specific things going right for her that these guys would just do all this shit to her, but she's not supernatural. Anyway, it's bananas.
Gotta be in the classroom. Gotta find the tight pants.
Exactly. You gotta guarantee that he's gonna take her to a motel and give her drugs, which I guess she hides and pretends to be passed out. And takes all these contact sheet photos of her.
Wow.
And the second one is her. It's like there's two sisters. They both look just like Karen Black. One's a mousy spinster again. And the other one's got this platinum blonde, like Halloween headquarters, shake and go wig that would fool not even your great-grandma Gertie. And she's a whore. And then the spinster one's going to kill her because she's trying to get the father's inheritance. And then at the end, the horror platinum blonde Halloween wig's dead, and the coroner pulls off the wig, and it's the spinster one. It was the same person all along.
What?
Wow, it goes to show that people can just take off and put on wigs all the time.
Yeah, that's right. It was very common.
The versatility of those blonde wigs.
And these
Anyone
days...
Anyone can be a hooer.
Pretend you're a hooer. But these days...
It just says that on the back.
Teach your hooer. At Halloween Town. Hey, pretend to be a hooer.
Hooler Wingtail.
These days, though, if someone has a wig on, everyone knows immediately.
Right.
That's the funny part.
Exactly.
Is that, like, no one's getting away with it these days.
Yeah.
We're also hip.
Like, there's also the wig culture in terms of, like, RuPaul's Drag Race with the elaborate lace front situations.
Oh, yeah. And, like, taking them off and... in timing-wise and throwing them
right.
at people.
And having a wig under a wig under a wig and shaking it out and then doing a shablam. A death drop.
So many multi-wig moves.
So wait, can we go back? Because I feel like we just picked you up from rehearsal mm-hmm. for Facts of Life Live.
Yes.
Which is your new show, but you are Sophia from the legendary... Golden Girls Live, which has been going on. How long have you guys been doing that?
The first time we did that, I'm pretty sure it was August of 14, just for a weekend. And then it did really well. So now we do it like twice a year, like just for two weekends.
Yep.
I've heard about it for so long that I thought it was older than that. That surprises me.
Well, there are different people. People have been doing it in New York or San Francisco, but this production here in L.A.,
imposters?
Yeah. Well, they think they... That's the funny thing about these, like, when you're doing one of these things. The people in San Francisco, heckling, and these other ones are like, it was our idea. I'm like, no, it was the Golden Girls' idea.
Yeah.
It was Harris's idea.
Yes.
The woman who created it. And, like, so...
And also just the idea that a group of gay men would want to then reenact old Golden Girls is like, sorry, that's kind of standard fare.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I feel like comes with the territory.
It's been happening since the Golden Girls were on the air.
Yes.
And then there was the Real Life Brady Bunch with all the, you know, the Soloways and all the Annoyance Theater people who really kicked it off in the early 90s.
Which is how I first met you.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
The Annoyance Theater. Yeah. Is that Joe Bill? Is that a name? I used to be in the
end. That's two first names.
Yeah, I know. That's, some people have those.
Joe Bill.
Jack Ryan.
Tom Mark.
Yeah, there was a guy, Annoyance Theater guy, when I went to an improv. The Big Stinkin' Improv Festival in Austin, Texas. Mm. There was a guy named Joe Bill.
He's a real person.
I was just trying to drop a name, man.
No, that's
Sharna
cool.
Halpern.
Sharna, yeah, that was I.O.
It's a book I pretended to read. I never read
to
it.
To fit in.
That traffic is crazy over there. What is up?
And you see how Karen isn't fazed by it? There's not been times where I'm driving and trying to also at the same time think of sentences or just words other than, oh my God, we're going to die. And she's so much better at it. Calm. She prefers to drive at 5 o'clock. We usually record at rush hour.
This is
You're doing great. I'm impressed.
I'm sweating.
Thanks, everybody. Wait, did we force you basically to take an Uber to rehearsal so we could drive you home?
Yeah, basically. I mean, I could have probably gotten a ride from a Doudrogi, but I was fine with it. I do it sometimes just not to have to drive.
Is Drew in the show? He's Drew is my
Mrs.
friend.
Oh, okay. Drew is Mrs. Garrett, and he's the son of a bitch is going to steal the motherfucking show.
He's a genius. He's a genius person.
He is. I mean, he hits new levels as Charlotte Ray as Mrs. Garrett. I mean, even if you think you know what Drew's going to pull, it's like, and so it's a rewrite. We're in Golden Girls, as Karen knows, we do the straight up scripts. Maybe there's a little spin on it with maybe a wink or a nasty word.
Maybe. Sure. Maybe a bit of a goose.
Maybe.
A little gilding the lily here and there.
A little carried away.
It's so funny.
Especially when I'm Sophia and I just run out through the audience and break the fourth wall and scream that I want to die. But
Estelle Getty used to do that too.
You sure did. So this is like Jackie Beat and Sherry Vine. Like, we rewrote an episode to make it an hour and fill in all this stuff. And there's a talent show.
Yes.
We each do a talent.
Oh, I can't fucking wait. Because
are you coming?
Yeah, oh, I
want
to go.
You want? Let's go. Okay. I have the tickets.
Oh, good.
Yes, I bought my tickets the second you tweeted about it because I was like,
you told me. That's right, you told me.
Yes, I was like, I'm fucking there. The first time you guys did Golden Girls Live, I bought tickets and then couldn't go, and I almost had a nervous breakdown because I'm like, I don't like anything, and this is everything I like in one night. Like, I have to be there for it. So
yay.
I've seen Golden Girls Live
a bunch.
Twice,
right?
At okay. least twice, if not more. I think maybe three times. And I've talked about, and I'm
you did
remember,
on MFM, yes.
On MFM,
thank you.
How when everyone was singing the theme song together, it like healed me in a way that at that time I needed it so bad, where I was just like, oh no, yes, everything is good and fine, and we're all together singing the fucking Golden Girls theme song.
Yeah, that show, when it came up again, it's on some streaming network, like you can watch all of them now.
Hulu.
And it is it's a medicinal.
It is healing.
The feeling it gives me, not just nostalgic. It's just the colors, the sounds, their voice tones.
Yep, mm-hmm. It's very calming and like relaxing. You know that like here comes Bea Arthur and she's fucking gonna fucking set this thing up. Mm-hmm. And boom, there's Sophia. Yeah.
Whereas like a show like MASH just made me think, oh, I have to do homework and my mom's gonna start vacuuming.
Yes.
Yeah, that's how it was with Happy Days too.
Oh God, yeah. Why did Happy Days bum me out sometimes?
Oh, it was so depressing. It made me so mad when I was little that it was like, it started out kind of being the 50s in the first couple of seasons, and then it went right to like, fuck you, we're having feathered hair, Jimmy loves Chachi, and everyone's got a mullet.
Yeah,
and
why? With popped collars? What are you guys doing? You're pissing on this period.
Yes, completely. I mean, it used to make me mad. Well, Facts of Life, sadly, is it needed a rewrite. It doesn't have the same, because that's why we can do the Golden Girls now, the writing, almost all of them. Every once in a while, you'll have a little bit of like, really, writers?
Yeah.
But for the most part, it's tight as a drum.
Yes.
So Facts of Life you did first?
I did Facts of Life, actually, in my long career playing teenage girls on stage and screaming in wigs. Chris, some guys like it. Some gentlemen of a straight persuasion can have an eye out for that. That's a different story for a different podcast. Anyway, we did in the late 90s for the first time I did it, and this guy Steve Sobel, who's a straight guy, he's a straight, hairy, very like butch cute guy, played Joe. So we played up the sexual tension.
That's hilarious.
His only like nod to drag was clipping on a ponytail. He was just a fucking dude in a denim cutoff vest.
Yes.
And then we had celebrity, like rotating celebrity Natalies, including Jackie Beat, Julie Brown, Margaret Cho, and some other folks. And then we did
Never Karen Kilgariff, who literally got called Natalie from Facts of Life for her entire adolescence.
How do we not do that? Weird.
I think I don't think I had the juice at the time that I would have
brought
to the table.
This was right. This was like 97, 98 the first time. The second time we did it was 03 and 04. You were probably too famous by then.
I agree. I just tapped into the juice recently. Just as far as confidence in being able to do things.
Yes, exactly. And
once
feeling
I 40,
like I should.
I'm like, I can do things.
Also, I think for me, the Natalie wound was still too fresh to do it in 04.
Certainly.
Where I was like, all my life, I was just like, really? You're just Again, I'm going to be called Natalie.
Why can't
from Facts
I be the girl with the hot with the grease stain Mick fixing motorcycles?
That's,
what's her name?
That's Joe.
Yeah, that's the one that Tig said she always wanted to be.
Yes.
Yeah, well, yeah, she's so well. I mean, we also play up the lesbianicness of the, but it's Sherry Vines playing Joe.
That's so funny. Also, I will just argue for Natalie in one moment to say she does have like a weird, didn't she and George Clooney, when he came to be the handyman when they opened mm-hmm. that dumb store, mm-hmm. didn't Natalie and George Clooney have a thing?
In real life?
No. But on the show, it was as if like...
Probably.
The handyman was into... It was like this breaking down this concept of like, he could like her. Where I was sitting at home going, holy shit, it's anything's possible.
Oh, maybe. I didn't really watch it because I was an adult already. I'm old. I was like in high school and college during the Facts of Life years.
Yeah. That's amazing. Stuck with them for a long time.
Yeah. But the thing is, we've all become, because we were, I was in this indie movie, which Drew is one of the stars of, like, in 14 or 15, called You're Killing Me, with Jeffrey Self, and who you know, and like all these, Brian Sofie's in it,
yeah.
Edie Patterson, Matthew Wilkes, and our friend Jim Hansen wrote it, and then Mindy Cohn, who played Natalie, is in it. And so we all became friendly with Mindy.
Aww.
And she's come to Golden Girls and stuff. And she's a delight and she's around. And so but we were kind of nervous because, you know, the Natalie thing is.
Yes.
So we had to be like, it's raunchy, it's crazy, it's wild, it's really dirty. And, you know, she's been supportive about all of it. She's like, I love you guys and liking all this stuff on Instagram. But then she's not coming, though, because she said she was out of town because Drew just checked with her. Which well, is probably also, for the best.
It's probably for the best. Also, I think it's a different, like, I think people wouldn't be able to enjoy it as much because it's the whole thing is everything's a send up. So, like, if you knew she was there, then everyone would be like, oh, like, we should be respectful to her, where it's like, no, it's not about that.
Also, in their small spaces, this happened the last run of Golden Girls in January. Three people came that were friends of ours who were pretty famous, like, you know, noticeably
famous.
I'll tell you, it was literally in the back in the middle, Lauren Graham, on one side in the corner, Sean Hayes, and then Ross Matthews on the front row, who is very well known to gay people, especially from Girls Drag Race.
Yeah.
All friends of ours. Sean and Lauren really had never come yet, which was strange, because Lauren comes to my stuff there all the time, and so does Sean. But they were like, the people were like, because it's a small space, like 60 seats, 70 people, especially those gays down there. We're like just staring because they weren't really laughing. It was really off.
Like
it was,
looking up behind them.
Yes, to see is comedy legend Sean Hayes laughing? Like stuff like that.
Yes.
You know, literally staring at the Emmy winners to see if it's okay to react.
Yeah.
Oh, that's...
And it always has an impact. So that's like... It's, you know, that can be a thing. And it would be definitely that way if Mindy were there in the front row.
Oh, my God.
I mean, it's not a rule I enforce, but I wish always that it was just strangers in every audience.
Yeah.
Always strangers.
Always.
No one that knows me. No one that's ever been in my family or naked with me. Those are entirely separate.
Oh,
I just, strangers only.
Yes.
.com.
And at that space, we can
farmers.
We can really.
I want farmers. Farmers only in my
that are strangers. No farmers that you know.
Just American Gothic audience. Pitchforks, and then they run me out of town.
Every time.
Yeah, that would be so frustrating. That I'd be so embarrassed to have everyone staring up at Sean.
Well, and also it makes me think of, what was the name of when you and Drew did the one where you were...
Strong Choices.
Yes. So they did a two-man show that was like half improvised called
Strong Choices.
Strong Choices.
That's a great name.
And they're two like these weirdo like lifestyle guru
creepy,
life coaches.
Gay ex-lovers who hate each other.
They're stink. Fighting, but they're also improvising the advice they're giving.
It's a showman art. We're teaching
so
you how to
funny.
Like you're selling a cassette tape series.
We're selling a retreat up into Temecula.
Sure, sure.
It's $875 a day for women. Men are much less. It's reconstituted. We saved a puppy mill up there, and we have like a retreat and a yurt and everything. And there's lots of like naked, you know, healings and all kinds of bullshit. And then we heal each other, and then we bring out our tools, which is this this legitimate giant trash bag of wigs that I've had since the 90s. I've been here in Cohere. And we dump them out and make people pick a wig to represent their problems. And we put them on and like role play with them.
Yes. And then at one point, and I think you were saying who a person in the audience's spirit animal is. And so they're just riffing it. And it's so hilarious because you can tell Drew and Sam as people are trying to out.
Yep.
Like they're trying to different direction the riff. Yeah. So one person says B. Arthur, and then it's like clearly Sam can't do anything in the B. Arthur world.
So I'm like soiled CVS receipt.
Yeah. Like it's going like this.
Yeah.
And at one point, and I don't know why, because I know you, it's not like I haven't been to a live show before, but Sam looks up at the row I'm in and then and just goes, back row, the entire cast of The Sandlot. And I almost had a nervous breakdown. I was laughing so fucking hard. It was like kind of like you look down the row like, yep, that's who we are. It was so hilarious.
Well, the new one we're going to do, because we did that so many times, we tried to get it on TV and a web series and all the shit you clawed through with things coming this close to happening than not. So and then we were like, fuck it, and we've been doing our own things. But now we put together a new one, which is called We Are Special Bitches, because we came out of the Golden Girls and our friend Joe Tower looked at me and Drew, he's like, you two are just fucking special bitches. That's our new show. So we decided Drew's the drama teacher and I'm his star student, who is probably also fucking, who's like this, 45-year-old gay man who thinks he can compete with the Hemsworths, and is very bitter and angry. And it's based on these people that I've known that like literally have been acting for 20 years and it's just really in class.
Yes.
And they've done like a little thing here or there. And so we're gonna write scenes and plays and make the audience do them.
Yes.
That sounds, I love,
third week funnest. Of June at Casito.
I love improvised bitches. Audience interaction where it doesn't have to be like improv. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like
the way
improv
they do
as
it.
I know it.
Right.
It's
give us this. Request or whatever.
No, they're
right. Yeah, it's structured improv.
It's structured, but then the way you guys do it, it's just this. It's like we're going to use you. Sure, you can try to be funny too, but it'll only bite you in the ass.
Exactly.
Like that's my favorite thing, and I think it also is an element of. It's why I love gay. I will be specific to say gay male comedy, if not drag queen comedy. It's you can try,
right?
But we're going to come at
Tee
you,
up, bitches.
You have no idea what's about to happen to you. So yeah, you can try to be the witty one in this audience if you want to, but it's a mistake. And that's my favorite.
I wish someone told me that a long time ago, mainly with stand-up, that you will always win with a heckler. Well, one, you're amplified. I mean, all you have to do is repeat. But I still, whenever it happens, I'm like, God, I keep doing well with these hecklers. I don't know why why didn't I ever just have the confidence and be like, go ahead and try. Try and be funny or loud.
Try
and be drunk.
Karen, did you remember exactly where I live?
Of course.
Oh my God, because I didn't even remind you. That's amazing.
Well, also because there was Sam was a witness to a fucking terrible murder up here.
Well, I met the murderer. I didn't witness,
Sorry.
It's fine.
That's my way of saying anything is like, what's the most insane way to say this?
No, because literally I had to say to the detective, what will my part be at the trial? And he was like, you didn't witness the murder. You met the murderer.
What? How did you meet the murderer? What was the murder meeting situation? I must know.
I'm just going to drive around here until...
Yeah,
we get
you can circle the top of this area. You know how to do that?
I think so.
Just take a right and it goes all the way around. It's adorable.
Okay, awesome.
Okay, so I'm going to show you some things, Chris, as we do this. So this is this neighborhood I live in.
Okay, it's beautiful.
And I live in the guest house of a celebrity friend who we'll talk about later.
Okay.
So it's right down here.
Hard right, right.
So you have parking then because it's impossible.
I
went to a party and I said, I'm just saying hi because there's nowhere to park and then I'm leaving.
Oh, yeah. We do. So this is, it's here on the left. Okay. Now.
Oh, beautiful. What a great place to live.
They're redoing the pool, so there's like some construction stuff. So you see that gate?
Mm-hmm.
And then you see this back area that goes up to the pool and to me. Okay.
Sure.
So, and this is on the left over here is where that's my
The
busted up vehicle. That's my porta potty, which is another story. Another police call. I'll get to that in a minute. Okay, so that front, those front, that gate where those stairs are, mm-hmm. that gate was open one day. And me and Gio, also my best friend, who Kara knows, also known as the drag queen Roz Dresvalles.
Oh, I really like her.
Yep,
like
she's her. The best. Yeah. We were watching RuPaul's Drag Race East Coast feed, because that's the kind of DirecTV we got. Suck it, bitches. And so I looked out the window, and there was this young man on the steps, and he looked very, you could do either one, because it's just that down goes longer, so just take the down one.
Great.
Would you say he looked frazzled?
Frazzled's one word.
Frazzled!
Frazzled, little frazzled dude.
That's accurate. Mm-hmm. He looked very frazzled. His hair was at loose ends, he was scruffy duffy,
I don't know why I've made him,
Mrs. Frizzle Dizzle, what's her name?
The surfer guy that lived behind OJ. Why am I not?
Cato Kaelin.
Yeah, I know.
No, in this story, I'm the Cato Kaelin. Oh, exactly.
Sorry, I
wish I had that
changing
hair.
Roles.
So anyway, he starts to come up those steps. He's got a paper bag, like a Ralph's bag filled with like clothes or something, and this like briefcase thing, and he's carrying a pizza flyer. He's just like, this area is close enough to like the area of Hollywood that's not great, that like, you know, we've had weirdos and vagrants drag
right.
by. So, and you can just take the right. Okay. So he, I said, hey buddy, you gotta go down. Cause the window of my living room and my bedroom overlook the front stairs there. Okay.
Right.
That's the way it's more like a it's an apartment. It's probably used to be the chauffeur's quarters. It's above that one garage.
Boy,
where
cool.
I live. Yeah, it's great. Very lucky,
yes,
very
that's
happy.
Exactly where Cato would live. Continue.
Right?
So I look out and I was like, hey, buddy. And Gio noticed him. And I was like, hey, you got to get out of here. And he was like, I need something to eat. And I was like, well, that's not
Gio
here.
Gio recognized him from previous encounters?
No, Gio was the first person that saw him.
Oh, okay.
No,
okay.
He was very
hey, flyer
young
boy, pizza flyer.
Well, he was like gesturing with the pizza flyer, like that was his
it's
entree
a distraction.
To get food from us.
Exactly, yeah. That's you know? A distraction.
Like, no, yeah, exactly. And I was like, no, you gotta go away. He was like, well, I need work or money. And I was like, there's nothing for you here, please go away. And he was like, ugh. And I was like, and I almost had to go out there, and he was like, just kind of like stomping and puffing and being like pissy about it. I was like, no, buddy, go down now. So I ran out and I closed the gate. Once he got out of there, I saw him from my other living room window go to the neighbor across the street, which we passed, and there was a workman working on their gate. So he was trying to go in. The workman stopped and was talking to him, and I could just see the workman like shoo him off. The next morning, I get up. Gio was picking me up to this meeting.
He's not a sleepover friend. It's not like that. I was going to ask.
No.
How well do you know him?
That's another story, but that's not him. So then my sister, who lives in the valley, texted me, and she's like, there was a murder in your neighborhood, and my brother-in-law, we call him Captain Infrastructure, because he's always surveilling the perimeter, and he's always like, he knows everything. He's the one who found me the rehab to get into. He's just that guy. His sister and brother-in-law are cops. His family's military and teachers. They are not fucking around.
He's like, he holds it down.
Exactly. And it's a giant, drunken Irish Catholic family. So
love it.
With that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, who I spent a long Easter with on Sunday. Different story. Anyway, Easter egg hunt, cash prizes.
Yes!
In the egg?
Well, there's numbers in the eggs, and they all correspond. It's like the fucking lotto. So, anyway, then my sister's like, there's a murder. I look. Oh, we can go to the murder house. I'll show you the murder house.
Okay. Oh, boy.
So then we, and then my friend who owns the house, and she calls me. She was like, oh my God, one of the neighbors got murdered. So turns out here's what happened. There was a guy, he was, just go that way.
Okay.
Looking for work and pizza.
Yes. So there was there were some weird details at first, because it was, I don't know whether to say these names or not, but I'll say this. The house was owned by this famous Canadian TV personality who I had heard of, and the first thing was like, oh, I don't know, no, that's my house, no one's staying there, it's empty. The next wave came through of like, oh no, this friend of mine, this Canadian actor, was staying there, and I knew he was there, but it was weird and fishy. And he was the one who, this same kid, at 2 in the morning, I don't know if he was hiding there or had just come in, but the guy got home at 2 a.m. in the morning, loud music playing, and this guy beat him to death with a small sledgehammer.
Wow.
And then the thing was, like, he... So then there was, like, on the community bulletin board, there was all this, and you can just go up the thing this time.
Okay.
On the community bulletin board, my friend who owns the house is telling me, like, here's the description of the guy that was fleeing the suspect. And I was like, that is exactly the guy I saw last night.
Wow.
So.
Down to the pizza flyer?
That was lost in the blood. But they, Christopher.
Oh, God. It's
Mr.
Just,
Pizza Man?
Hey, I'm looking for work and pizza hammer to your head.
But so this guy was like, the guy, he was just staying at his friend's house. And because that's the whole thing is like he, so what you're going to do here is take this hard right here.
Okay.
Yeah, down.
Great.
And
she almost did the classic yank the dog and
throw it over the.
Yeah, I can't believe that people don't get their dogs run over up here. People are always walking in the middle with their dogs, ear pods in.
Yeah, yeah, with the dog 15 feet away from them.
Yeah. And then, so then, it was immediately I called the cops, they talked to me. I was working on this, some friend's fucking web series, like every weekend that September. It was in September. And then I was working on that show, The Mick, and like...
That show was so funny.
Oh,
I wish
God, it was. It was so much fun.
Do you know Brian Keith Etheridge? Mm-mm. He was a writer on it. He's funny.
Oh, I know him.
He's my friend.
Oh, okay, cool.
The end.
It was. That should last longer. It was so much fun.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I don't understand.
Oh, I thought you meant Chris's story.
So then I'm going to point it to... It's like, there are these steps right there.
Ooh, pretty.
And I think it was... A little bit further down here. It was either this one or the one up behind it on the steps.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So the access is from the steps, basically.
Wow. Yeah, because you can go from those steps all the way up to the street that we were up above.
Because you said Canadian actor, I think it was that house, and I think I had a friend that watches that house sometimes, and now I'm going to ask him about this murder situation.
Can I go left? Yes,
Go left.
Bring us up and around.
That's so scary. So one different move that you could have made, you could have been the next.
Well, that was the whole thing, and the nanny was upstairs, and the couple, and they have two kids that live there in my place, or their
place.
Did
he look like someone capable of murder? You can just never tell.
No, he didn't. He was a young, skinny kid. He looked like kind of a teenager. So he escaped, and then he somehow got to either Arizona or Vegas, because they had to wait to extradite him from there. So that same week, once I talked to the detectives, which... Let me tell you something.
Yeah, no.
Oh, my God.
You don't even have to tell
you,
me.
You, Karen?
No, I know.
It's one of those guys that you and me both would just claw our shirts off and climb like a tree.
You know that one time there was a shooting in my neighborhood, and there were cops.
Oh, you're talking hot cops?
Yes.
In code around me?
Sorry.
This detective, I know his name, I have his card.
But we were, I think we talked muscles. About this because my doorbell rang,
Lieutenant
I opened the
Silver
door,
muscles.
And it's a guy in a suit with a big watch and slicked back hair. And I was just like, immediately like grabbed my robe, like, and it's just like some dude that's like, people are killing people and I'm here to take care of business. We were just like, holy
Maybe
shit.
Maybe you guys just like guys that work for the city. What if it was a municipal?
I'm not afraid of any of that.
I love a steady paycheck and Social Security.
Great retirement.
So like, oh my God. So my first meeting with him is, this is how stupid I am. I had a table read at Fox for this show, for The Mick, and where I was playing Stephen, believe it or not, a bitchy, waspy 50-year-old gossip columnist who had the goods on Caitlin Olsen.
God, I think I saw that.
It was an offer. It was hi, how are you?
No audition, offer only?
Oh, it was crazy. It was a miracle. So anyway, then... because that was like, I booked the job, and then they were like, the detective said, I need to see you like now, basically, to question you about this.
Shit.
And I said,
at ease, Sergeant.
Exactly. Well, this is how, like, I was so dumb. And what's the word? Like, not vain, but you'll know the word after I tell the story. I say to him, I said, you know what? I actually have this job at Fox, and it's a table read, and I don't know if I can get you on the lot with the drive on. And he said, I have a pass that gets me onto every lot in town.
And then he showed you his badge.
Basically, he didn't say that because it was over the phone, but that's what he meant. And my pants dropped off.
Yeah. Wow.
And then my
desk
home
in the
was
morning.
Presented. But then
you're certainly welcome onto this lot, Sergeant.
Exactly. Speaking of Sandlot, it's my Sandlot. But then I was like, I don't, because he was like, I'll meet you there at the lot. I was like, I don't want to go to this table read where I got a job offer with a homicide detective. I thought that might look bad.
Or do you? No, you got to go with something to make it your character.
No, it looks the fucking coolest.
I should bring a homicide detective with me to every audition and get all the cat food commercials.
So then he said, where can, oh my God, Karen, I felt so glamorous and like in a TV show. He was like, well, I was like, you know, can I meet you somewhere over near there? He was like, meet me at Roxbury Park. He's like, park in the red next to my Charger. And he had a Dodge Charger.
My Dodge Charger.
And
what a cop.
And so I just, and that's what I did. And I immediately, as soon as I pulled up, I was like, holy shit, because I hadn't seen him. And I was going to try to sneak a picture of him. And I'm like, that has to be illegal. And so then I had to look at all these mugshots, and immediately I was like, and they're not in different, they have a folder, they take a statement, they write down your statement, they record your statement, and then they have the six pictures on the same piece of paper. It's not like six different ones.
Yeah.
And I was like, absolutely him. And he was, and they're like, disregard earrings, jewelry, hair color, beard, facial hair, hats, yeah, pizza flyers, ball peen hammers. Yeah. And I said, absolutely him. Yes, absolutely him.
And did they ultimately catch him?
They caught him.
Good.
They had to, they knew it was him. They had to wait till he got extradited back, or whatever it's called.
From it's and then, Vegas, not Belize.
It was literally long enough that, get this. So when we first saw the murderer, we were sitting down to watch RuPaul's Drag Race All Stars, and a whole other cycle had started. Because literally, I had to talk to the cops a couple times between that. Literally, me and Gio were sitting down in my house to watch RuPaul's Drag Race All Stars, I guess season 3 or 4, and they knocked on the door. They didn't call or text or anything. And I opened the door, and it's this detective and his partner. And I was like, thank God, back in the days when I was, Stephen, when I was high all the time or drunk off my ass.
Right, right, right.
For real.
Off my ass, in my underpants.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, officer, it's so funny, because this is my same friend here that was here when the murder happened, and we're watching the same exact
Isn't
show.
Isn't that funny? Do you guys have a sense of humor about this stuff?
Please tell me you do. Did I make it clear I'm gay and I'll do anything to pleasure you? So then they sat there, and the funny thing, I can say all this, right?
Yeah.
So anyway,
one
time, and then they were telling me, he's like, it's called trial prep. We're here just to make sure, basically, that you're not a fucking liar. And it was literally like
Does
a year
this
later.
Does like the home of a liar?
Does it? This yeah. glamour?
Does this look like the garage apartment of a liar?
This house gets me into your badge. I know that doesn't make sense.
So I was like, here's the window. Here's where he was. Here's the gate. Here's where he was going. Here's where I saw him. Oh, they walked through everything. Thank God the house was clean.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, God.
It was just because it's a surprise visit, because of course it's a surprise visit.
Yes.
Because if they walk in and I'm like, ha ha, I'm on acid, I see monkeys crawling across my pizzas.
You get a dirty house misdemeanor.
Are you making gingerbread? I'm gonna bite you.
Oh, God.
Or whatever. And it seemed a little too on the nose, whereas literally, this is my friend who was here. We're watching the same TV show.
Yeah.
And so then I had to meet him again, like, he called and we met him again, like, a few months later. Because at that point, at the surprise house visit, he was like, you may have to testify at the trial, and you may not, it may not go to trial, you know, all the things that can happen. He may just be straight up guilty. And then the next time he came to visit me with his other partner, they were at the end of their shift and they wouldn't leave. And I had a lot of fantasies about that.
Yeah.
Really?
But the partner wasn't hot, but the partner was just like, here's the other thing. I guess.
In what way were they not leaving? Like, so,
They were just tucked into the chairs,
the kitchen,
and we kept talking. They made me look at another set of mugshots, and this is interesting for the My Favorite Murder gang.
Yes.
He was like, look at these headshots in black and white. And he was like, and I was like, which one is it? And I was like, it was a different set. I'm sorry. And I was like, I cannot pick him out. I said, he's like, within a shadow of a doubt, could you do it? I was like, that was a year and a half ago or whatever it was. I cannot do that. He showed me a video of the guy, the same killer, on someone's Nest camera down the street the day before. And the kid looked so much cleaner. It's like he must have had a rough night the night before.
Yeah.
And my important thing was, I said, officer, is he psychopath? Is he like a straight up psycho? And he's like, he's not insane. He just is a bad person who did a really bad thing.
Oh, wow.
And I said,
that's worse.
Yes, it is worse.
It's scarier.
Exactly. It's not one of these like, you know, like full on, like terrible child. Who knows what his childhood is? But he like, he chose to do this. It wasn't voices telling. It's not something, you know.
Yeah.
He wasn't hallucinating. He didn't think the government was coming for me. He was like, I'm going to get caught because I broke into this place. So this guy has to die.
I already own the sledgehammer.
Completely. Right. Or no, he found it there, I guess. Or maybe it was in the bag.
Did he?
So the guy was like, you know, I guess there was no trial. And the thing that freaked me out was like how I could not, I thought I had him tattooed in my brain, the murderer. And then when I looked at this other set of different pictures, and they recorded all that, and then he did this after he turned the recorder off. He was like, "You didn't pick the right guy."
Oh, that wow!
Not the one. I was like, "Holy
shit!" That
was shit.
What
He's
I
like,
was afraid.
Yeah. See, he said that's just a kind of a lesson about memory.
Does it make you? What does it make you think more about when people are accused, falsely accused,
of course.
Like how that actually can happen?
Absolutely.
I know that was him because striped shirts. Yeah. Why would the other person also have a striped shirt?
Yeah.
It was all that stuff.
That's
and so
scary.
Nothing came of it, you know. Oh, but then they were talking about.
Did he go to jail though?
I hope he did. I keep wondering, like, should I check in? I could probably ask the detective. I still have his card.
He'll come right over. Apparently.
Yeah, and hang out.
I'll bring friends and then leap out of a cake.
But when he was like, when they were like trying to make the last time I saw them, which was not a surprise, because I was like, you know, I'm an actor, so I don't know what's going to happen, and I, you know, I could have an audition, not be there. I was probably also just trying to, like, you know, pretend I was famous in front of them.
Yeah.
And then when they got there, he was like, the partner who was older and scruffier, not as hot, he was all like, that's what I say to this one, the actor's life, huh? And I was like, oh, are you an actor to the hot one? He was like, I have a SAG card.
Oh, that's great. I keep it right under my badge.
And so they were kind of like, and then the other guy told me this long story about the movies he'd worked on and like being an extra cop on things and then working the, you know how they had the motorcycle cops.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah.
Much,
yeah.
I thought after being in a car wreck and not getting the cops to come, they won't come unless you say, okay, my bone is sticking out and there's a guy with a gun. Then they'll show up. Or you just have to have a film shoot.
Right, which
you
means,
can get it.
Because that makes you pay $25,000. Yeah,
exactly. I got caught in a car accident. Oh, it's also on the set of an independent film. Will you now come?
Yes, we'd love
so
to block
sit
traffic
at the
for you.
Yeah.
Oh,
don't get me still. You know how I'm all. Once we talk about cops.
You're hitting me.
Why?
I'm sorry. Put you on your sledgehammer.
I mean,
can't stop thinking about Peter Gabriel.
Sam told me that story. After it happened, he was just like, I have to tell you the story. Like, remember, that's when we went to that weird restaurant that was like strangely abandoned.
Oh my God, that was weird.
This
and that bartender.
Yeah. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
I will tell them. Once we're not recording, I'll tell you the whole story.
I think we're here. This was, Sam, we had you on before? And will you please do it again?
I would love to. And also, Karen, what I still haven't told you, and every week I'm like, I need to write this email to this cutie back here, is the one about being on my family's farm in the Indian village that got churned up in the flood and finding the bones.
What?
Of an Indian village?
Yeah. This whole freaking burial ground.
That's family's house is built on?
That's a poltergeist.
Family farm.
That's the poltergeist.
Yeah.
Yes.
And we said at the time, and this is in 85, and we said, oh my God, Mama, we're like, oh my God, we're cursed. And my mother kept saying, the flood, it was the curse.
You got rid of the tombstones, but you didn't get rid of the bodies, did you?
Yeah, exactly. Just move the tombstones. Yes.
But it was like, they did a whole art. That's for another time.
Okay.
This has been a pure pleasure.
I'm scared right now.
You should be all the time.
That's why I'm making my apartment nice, because no one's going to, although while I was gone, someone tried to break into my garage with a hacksaw.
Really?
Yeah, but
Holy shit.
They didn't get in, though.
Oh, good.
Good.
Because I took some the necessary about a plate cover. I like to end the podcast real
on a safety.
On
a plate cover plug.
I will see you this weekend.
For sure.
Okay.
Friday night. It's the opening night.
Okay.
Yes.
Should we not say? So you're, okay. just like, this will come out after, so it doesn't matter, right?
I don't even know.
Okay.
Only Steven knows.
Monday.
Okay, good. Yeah. Then I'll see you then.
Okay, awesome.
Not giving anything away.
Love it.
Chris, it's a delight. I love it.
Yeah, you're
back.
The best.
I thoroughly enjoy this podcast so much. I will announce that I actively asked to be on it.
Oh, that's terrific.
But you did it. The timing was majestic because the three of us get into these text threads of, hey, we have to record. Like Steven goes, hey, you know, this is the day that the next one goes up. So we have to figure something out. Then it takes 20 minutes for all of us to be like, I'm here this day. I'm here that day.
Because it has to be three of you. That's a nightmare.
And in the middle of all that, Chris goes, I'll drum up someone to get mm-hmm. a guest, and you text, hey, can I be on? I
oh, swear right to then? God,
yes,
oh, wow.
during it. And I was just like,
wow.
I got this solved. It was mad. It was
this teaches
meant
me to
be.
Listen to my intuition where I'm like, do it when you think of it, do it now because it's something in the air.
Yes,
or the
yeah. there's a
or
reason. Yeah, you tapped in.
That same kind of intuition that keeps you from getting murdered.
Thank yes.
you. Cut to tomorrow.
No.
No, never.
Thanks, Sam.
Thank you, guys. I'll see you all soon. I'll take my left. Yeah, tell sweet go. Baby angel Dax Shape. Can I say his last name? Dax Shaffer.
Dax Shaffer, yeah.
He's a delight.
Oh, I'm so glad.
Okay.
Okay. Bye.
You.
Love you. Bye. That was a legit drop off.
Yeah.
I don't know
that was,
if we've ever
we
done
we stuck
that.
To the real theme. Yeah. Actually, and we don't have to next time. It's just a reminder that we had a theme in the beginning and we occasionally stick to it. Maybe we'll go to the airport again one day, although I hope not.
I hope not too.
Oh, it was
for
good
real.
To see you both.
You too.
Do you have anything coming up? I have some pluggy type things.
Do it. Plug it up.
I'm going to be in Bend,
Oregon
on May 9th and Boise, Idaho on May 10th. And then I'm in Winnipeg at Rumors May 14th through the 18th.
Awesome.
I should tell my mom to go see you, Chris, because she lives in Bend.
Oh, that's terrific. Bend, I have such a youthful love relationship with that. I used to go there just to do nothing but snowboard, and it was...
It's beautiful. It's a beautiful place.
That included yeah. eating. I, just would snowboard every day and then eat crackers in the lodge. I don't know how I lived. Also
sheer
a lot
will.
Of malt liquor. But that's all I have to... Yeah.
That's awesome. Everybody go see Chris do live comedy. Support him. I think all of my things are...
When do you go to this Clusterfest situation?
That's in June. And then our show for Clusterfest is Sunday. So
okay,
I'm going
cool,
up
cool.
Sunday.
Well, enjoy that.
But and anyone, I'm sure there's still tickets available for Clusterfest, which is a music and comedy festival. I'm sure other things too. In San Francisco, it is the
June 21st through the 23rd.
Steven, thank you, Clutch.
Clutch
MFM is on on Sunday.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Terrific.
Perfect.
Well,
this has been yet another captivating episode.
Edition of
Do You Need a Ride?
DYN.
Sorry, I'm doing your line.
It's okay.
I don't even know
threw
what to
me.
Do.
It's okay. DYN.
AR.
Well, you can honk right now. We're in traffic.
But no, because it looks like I'm honking at people. That's how you get kilt in this town. Honk, honk.
It's one of the only places you can just honk.
Okay.
And it doesn't mean. Yay! We did it!
This has been an Exactly Right production.
Produced by Annalise Nelson.
Mixed by Edson Choi.
Our talent booker is Patrick Kottner.
Theme song by Karen Kilgariff.
Artwork by Chris Fairbanks. Follow the show on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Dynar Podcast. That's DYNAR Podcast.
For more information, go to exactlyrightmedia.com.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Follow Do You Need a Ride on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you like to listen so you never miss an episode.
If you like what you hear, rate and review the show.
And visit the exactlyrightstore.com to purchase Do You Need a Ride merch.